Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the AMAA, Martial Arts Masters, Blog Talk Radio Show, hosted by the American Martial Arts Alliance, dedicated to building the awareness of professionalism in the martial arts through martial arts management and student development.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, and welcome to our show tonight. We have a lot of really good things happening in the martial arts. As you know, the Olympics are coming up, and karate has an opportunity to make its debut. The world of sport karate is moving very rapidly, and we got some things we want to talk about. A new thing that's happening is the Europa Games, and we're really looking forward to the Europa Games, and we're going to share some information about that. But it's a really great platform for us to take sport karate to the next level as we move traditional karate into the Olympic sport area. So it's going to be really great. You know, on our show, Professor Gary Lee and myself, we've been really reaching out and interviewing legends in the martial arts, even people that for the 40-plus years I've been studying that I used to read about when I was a white belt just getting started in the martial arts, and they were already, you know, martial arts champions, and I followed them, you know, throughout the years and really didn't think about that 40 years later I would actually have that opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with them. Even if I look back that far back, I didn't even realize that I would, be in the martial arts, achieved the ranking levels I've achieved and different things. Had no idea. So, but we all have a story, and this is really what our program has been about, is to share a story. And the story that inspires someone else to reach and discover their own greatness, because within each one of us, we have a certain level of greatness. And as we move forward, that greatness turns into a sense of our own spirituality. So you say, well, what do masters and grandmasters do, you know, when they don't get out and win tournaments and climb mountains and stuff like that? Well, we all reach our own sense of inner spirituality. So tonight we have on the call two legends in the martial arts. These guys have done so many amazing things. And this is a part of the American Martial Arts Alliance celebrating Black History Month. And to those martial artists that have been the milestone for the martial arts in helping to raise the bar for the martial arts, to developing students in the martial arts, and helping change lives. And we have two of those people on our call tonight. We have also Tyreek Cassell, and we also have Master Willie the Bam Johnson on the call. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great, sir.
Absolutely. Hey, Professor Bam, how you doing tonight, sir?
Great, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Well, and thank you so much, Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, for inviting us to share our history and to be part of the story that we are telling for history, because it isn't just Black history, it's history. And
it's
thank
history.
You for this format. And let me give a quick shout out to Professor Gary Lee as well, because he's just such a great man.
Well, we've been very fortunate and very blessed as we started on this journey this year, not knowing exactly where it's going, but there's a lot of great folks just stepping in front of each other, and, you know, the universe sort of drawing us all together, you know, for that. You know, what I want to do tonight is to discuss your story, and I know that if you want to read about the story, especially also Tyreek Cassell's story, you can turn in the book to page 17. The book that I'm looking at now, we've had a couple of versions of the book out, but, you know, he's got a phenomenal story. I'm sitting here looking at it now. And what we've tried to do is to go back and we've written about your story, so now we're going to a verbal sense of doing that. And, Willie, we have been trying to get together for a number of years, and you've done so many different things in the martial arts, and really wanted to reach out and, make that contact with you, and I'm glad that we were able to pull this together. So, Tyree, let's start with you, and then, like I said, then we're going to go to Willie, and we're sort of going to go back and forth and just sort of talk about it. So when did you get involved in the martial arts?
Wow.
You know, when I think about it, I have to go back to the beginning, and which is what you're asking me. But traditionally, people always talk about when did I first start my martial arts classes, you know, the instructor that you know, taught me everything. But what I recognize more than anything else was that my martial arts training started when I was a little boy. And that's when I was at home with my parents. And as we all know, our parents are our first teachers. They to guide us as to how they want us to help, you know, to live a good life. Well, my father was a man who started teaching me boxing techniques and self-defense, you know, when I was 4 years old. And my mother was right along there encouraging him to do that as well. So I was learning about martial arts, you know, even at that age of four. But, you know, it wasn't formal training, as you know, but just, you know, in the house and in the park. And by the way, this part of my history has never been shared before, so you're getting that exclusive right now when I talk about that. But that's when it started, and he was the one who showed me these different techniques. And I became pretty good because I do remember a six-year-old neighbor who decided he was going to bully me. And I was able to take him down even at four. So it was funny. But that was the beginning. Now, after that is when I started with Grandmaster James A. Jones, Jr. Most of the people know him as Jimmy Jones in Illinois, in Chicago, because you know that's my base. That's where I'm from. And I started with him, and he did the formal training of martial arts, studying Shore Goju Karate.
Okay, good. And Willie, you know, tell us a little bit about you. I know you've had an extensive study to martial arts, and both of you guys have been doing so many things in the community with the martial arts, not just about your tournament wins and things, but you're in your career, and you both of you guys have been, you know, phenomenal role models for kids. So Willie, tell us a little bit about you. When did you get started, and a little background on you?
Well, first of all, in case everybody don't know, Osa Casellas, my teacher, my dad, he's my everything. And you know, when I got started, you know, just seeing so much happening in our community and in our household that was, you know, real negative, real, you know, real violent, even though it was a loving household, it was just so many things that was happening. You know, and at a young age, I just happened to go and see, was it Bruce Lee's Chinese Connection? And with all the stuff that was going on around me, that movie kind of like, I didn't see Bruce Lee, I seen me. And that movie just changed me. When I came home, I just started doing everything I can possibly do to try to teach myself from the kung fu movies, from the books that I was able to grab a hold of, flipping on the little dirty mattresses around the neighborhood, anything that I can do to get away from the violence that, you know, was happening around me. And as I continued to do that, I, you know, started training with different local instructors, because at that time there wasn't really established schools, but there were people that randomly came in and, you know, taught at the community centers trying to help us out during the summer camps and things. And those things really helped me really begin to refine my creative expression. And the first formal instructions that I really got was from a guy by the name of Tony Lent. He had a kung fu school in the city of Baltimore, and I used to you know, I couldn't really take lessons, but I could stand on the side and just watch classes and drew out the techniques that he was doing. And then I go home and practice them, and I come back the next day, you know, and he was just really impressed that I was learning that stuff like that. But I wanted it so bad. I just wanted out of what I was around. And the next person was a guy by the name of Kenneth Parker, who started teaching me at a center called McKim's Community Center. And he just seen the acrobats that we were doing. I mean, we were, you know, in the city, you run up the walls, you flip off a roof. I mean, when you see all the people doing all the flipping over the fences and all from roof to roof, we always did all that stuff in the city back in the day. It was the way just to, you know, to just get through the day. And he seen that, and he just took the gymnastics and acrobats that we was doing and started blending it with yoga. And it was Kangaquan. That was the art of karate we were doing. And I got my black belt with him and branched out to Master Garcia Davis. And it's funny about all of that. During that time, I wanted so much more. I was reading about two guys in the magazine. One name was Osa Cassell. Another name was, I get pretty emotional when I talk about these two guys, Master Dennis Brown. And all I wanted to do was, like, be like them. You know, I just you didn't see that much around. And, you know, I just hope one day I would be able to be like them, meet them, train them, you know, and never knowing that I was pushing so hard. And I remember reaching out, and I got a chance to become their students. And the rest is history. Without those two guys, I wouldn't be the person I am today. You know, they showed me how to be a man. They showed me how to be an instructor. And Osa, I mean, through all the struggles I've been through in my life, is, you know, they tell you this saying, they say, when a student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, that's true, because when I was going through my toughest times, I heard his voice. I used to say, look at your resume. And I used to think they used to hate me, but I knew he didn't. I didn't know that until I got through that situation that I was going through, that all he was trying to do was prepare me for greatness. And when I was alone in those dark moments, his voice allowed me to be able to dig down deep and find out that my calling was martial arts. And he knows how much that means to me, and even Master Brown. And I began to apply all those things that they taught me that I didn't pay attention to when I was a kid, where when I got a chance to get that opportunity again, I came back to the martial arts industry, and that's where I'm at now. I'm just still carrying on the torch that they have allowed me. And when I say a torch, that he actually pushed me to grab that torch. Everything that he has done when I was in his presence, it was to prepare me for the man that I am right now, not just a martial arts teacher. So I say again, and I know I say it over and over every time we talk, I thank him so much, and I thank him for doing what he has done to help me become the man that I am today and the martial artist.
Well, you know, that's very powerful. And this is what we're talking about, is those stories, because as martial artists, you know, we influence a lot of people, our students, people that, you know, that we know, and actually people we don't know. So we're becoming models on all different levels. And what I have discovered, because we pretty much, when you talk to martial artists, we all had that point of the Bruce Lee influence. And you know, I tell the story that, you know, I got involved in martial arts because we got my job, we didn't get along, and Enter the Dragon came out, and I saw what Bruce Lee did to those guys, and I sure didn't want that happening to me. So it was my motivation to get involved in a martial arts school, you know. But it was the greatest, and I tell everyone, it's the greatest thing I've ever done, and I'm so glad that I made that choice to become a martial artist. And, you know, so these are the things that we're talking about. So, Tyree, you know, we have so many things that we read about you. I have a magazine of you and Bill Hayes. This was back in the 80s, early 80s. And, you know, there's so many covers. And I tell you, really, guys, and because, you know, I'm out of North Carolina, so a lot of the tournaments that I participated in were more out of the North Carolina and the Georgia area, and then to Virginia, but not realizing. I know when you go to Virginia, you see a lot of kung fu schools, but knowing the influence, especially up in that northeast
of, you know, Kung Fu and the different instructors that really brought forth that as an art. So let's talk about that for a second. And how did, you know, Tyree, you know, as a competitor, how did, you know, you were, you know, kickboxer. So let's talk a little bit now about what some of your earlier accomplishments, what they were during those times, your personal accomplishments.
Well, you know, one of the things that I have to say first is Professor Willie Bam Johnson. This young man, I've got to go back to something that he talked about. When he came around, when I finally got a chance to see this young man with so much talent and drive, the fire that was within him, it was always prevalent. And his discipline, his courtesy, his respect was something that stood out. I mean, he used to come by bus. I mean, he would come all the way from Baltimore into Washington, D.C. to take class and train. So if you don't mind for a moment, Grandmaster Bowen, I still have to talk about just how proud I am of him. Now, he and I talk on a regular basis, and oftentimes it gets, as he said, very emotional because I love him dearly. And I remember looking and seeing within him something that was going to be so much better than he thought he would achieve. But he needed that guidance and direction. And as he said, he thought that I may have hated him or disliked him, but it was an intense love because I could see the potential. And so I was pretty hard on him. He'll let you know some other stories, but they were all out of love. And it was the kinds of things that was to help develop him so that he could be just as strong and powerful as he is now in the community, not just with his school. So I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to have him tell you the story about driving. But in terms of my history, yeah, you know, I mean, you might as well mention that. But you know, one of the things happened to me, sir, when I started out, you know, back in 64, you know, my martial arts training and my influence was with my teachers. And now I am going to say this, and this is probably going to rankle. It will probably upset a whole bunch of people. But Bruce Lee was one person who acknowledged as being one of the most important people to bring the martial arts to the public's awareness and attention. Good martial artist, good martial arts actor, but you know, Bruce Lee wasn't a fighter. So, and that's the part that always rankles people and gets them going. But you know, history is history. My main people were strong black men in the martial arts out of Chicago. So I mentioned Grandmaster James Jones Jr., but then there is Lou Finn, there's Robert Brown, there was Ray Cooper. These are the men who impressed me the most. They influenced me. Victor Moore, Steve Muhammad, Steve Sanders at the time, but these are the men that I looked up to time. And so my heroes have always been people who look like me. They've been the people who have done things that I've actually seen, who conducted and carried themselves with dignity, with grace, with honor, and who did the martial arts in a way that garnered respect from everybody. Now, after winning, you know, the local tournaments, you know, in Chicago, amongst some strong competitors, my very first national tournament was in 1967 at the USKA Grand Nationals in Kansas City, Missouri. And so I'm a little teenager there, you know, coming in to compete. And I did win. What was great about it was I just loved the art. And it was in 1967, realistically. That's when I realized, you know, that that's all I ever wanted to do, the martial arts. I only wanted to do that. And I've had other jobs, of course, like everybody, you know, you go through different phases. You know, I was studying to be a lawyer. I had done so many other different things. But it was the martial arts that always drove me, it pulled me, it made me want, you know, to be in class and to study. And when I left Chicago, and I lived in Atlanta, by the way, I'm not sure if you knew that for a while, but when I also moved to New York, that's when the fighting and the forms and the other recognition came about because of all of those great men who had students and who were competing themselves. Dr. Moses Powell, O-Sensei Ronald Duncan, Fred Hamilton, George Cofield, Thomas LaPuppet, you know, these icons, these men. And so I was still there as a young man working and competing against some of their students in New York. But it was there, of course, that I also continued the national circuit, you know, taking me to, you know, all the top 10 nationals, the Battle of Atlanta, the San Jose Superstar Nationals, the Mid-America Diamond Nationals, Fort Worth Pro-Am, the U.S. Open. So, you know, I got around. I got around. Was I talking too long, sir? I'm sorry.
No, that's good, sir. We really want to, and that's good. This is what I said the show is about, sharing the things. As I'm sitting here, you know, looking in the book, and I'm actually looking at your some things about you online. So again, I'm just sitting here and making sure they're picking out the little pieces that I want to come back to. And Willie, tell us a little bit about you and your background. And I know you did some. You were in a television series. What was that? Was that back in the what? 90s, 80s? When did that come about?
I think it was the end of the 90s. It was WMAC Masters with Bruce Lee's daughter and all of the Pat Johnson, Isaac Florentine, all the top competitors at that time and movie producers and stuff. They just was trying to find heroes, you know, through real martial artists. And, you know, once again, that was a dream. That was always a dream of mine to get into films. And I just tried to, once again, I give credit back to my instructors, people like Cynthia Rothrock and all those people, because I would follow those magazines and everything they did. I just, you know, did the exact same thing. My first tournament was at 17, was the All-American. No, first it was the Battle of Baltimore. I had won that in forms and got second in fighting. And then I had the courage to get on the bus. And Osa Bench, I probably got on more buses in my lifetime than most people. And I got on a bus to go to New York City, Madison Square Garden, because at that time, the All-American, SME chose All-American Championships was like an A-rated tournament in KA magazine. And that was my first national, and I ended up winning first place and got tied up and you know, got on a TV show, a little TV segment there locally in New York, and I just got the little bug. And from that, I was on a bus everywhere to the Diamond Nationals, getting eighth place, to the AK Grand Nationals, getting eighth place. Those eighth places and seventh places really helped me tremendously because they built my courage. They didn't stop me from showing up. And back in those days, if you got eighth place amongst all those world champions, you was good. You know what I mean? Because there was a lot of people in those divisions. So, you know, after doing that and winning some of the – even Fred Helms' Battle of the Dojos. I mean, thank God I had a chance to meet him and compete in his event before he had passed away. So to me, I always tell people, probably the hardest place to compete in and being in Kung Fu was in New York City. And to get that respect and the way people treated me in New York, Kevin Thompson, I mean, William Oliver, Master Ron Van Cleef, I mean, Jerry Fontanez, I mean, the list goes on and on, just how they treated Lamar Thornton. They treated me like I was a New Yorker, and that kept me coming back, and it helped me raise the bar to really be prepared for that next level.
Yeah, you mentioning the names. You bringing out the names of the people. I was going to get to them, but, yes, he did. I'm jumping in because, you know what, this young man, when he stepped out there, it was really clear that he was going to make a name for himself. I had the confidence in him, and I watched him perform. And when he works, it is an exciting show. All the time. You got to see some of the old films of this young man when he was really, really out there. So, yes, sir, I know you did. I know. And you are from New York City, you know. And fortunately, you know, it was when I got there, they, of course, you know, always frowned upon and thought anybody doing Kung Fu was just a little flower and a patsy, and everybody would line up, you know, let me hurt and fight this guy so I can go on to the real match. So, you know, they found out that it wasn't going to happen with me. And it definitely made people realize that the art is about the man or the woman and how serious they are about training in it. And so we let them know, just like C2 Ralph Mitchell, Huey Gambrillin up in New York. Those are the other men, Master George Creighton. We let the people know. Philip Raymond, you know, and then here in this area, of course, we see through Ron Wheeler. So we're talking about, you know, making sure that we represented the art. And Professor Bam made sure that the art was represented.
Well, you know, this is what we're really talking about, the things that we don't know. You know, we talk about the Who's Who book. I think that's been the biggest thing of the book, is that as people, you know, when Tyree, you know, in Charlotte, North Carolina, when, you know, that weekend of the book coming out and so many people picking up the book, so many people, you know, they're learning things about each other that it was almost like a secret that didn't know about that person. And then everybody has put their bios in the book and you're reading the book and everybody's signing the book. And that was just such an amazing weekend. It wasn't just, you know, I've been to a lot of events and I know you've been to a lot of events, but I think the event, because people that were there, they hadn't seen each other in such a long time. And there was a brotherhood, sisterhood. You know, you had Cynthia Rothrock there, you had Linda Denley there, you had Helen Chung, you know, and that list just goes on, you know, Jeff Smith, Joe Corley.
Bruce, Jeff Grip. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was such a fantastic event that you hosted for the martial arts and for the history to be shared. And you are absolutely correct. There were some of us who had not seen each other in 20, 30 years. And the brotherhood was so strong. The sisterhood was so strong. And you already mentioned the greatest female sports martial artist and fighter in the history of sport karate in the country is Linda Denley. That woman is just unbelievable. She always has been. And so if you remember, I was right by her side because it's like I haven't seen you in so long, but she is just a phenomenal person. And your book, The Who's Who in Martial Arts, that was and is such an important book, and I am encouraging everybody to get it because it tells the story and the history of all of the people from way back when, but up to now, and the new people who are making strides and who are making history. So that is a prize collection. And if you can get one with everybody's signatures on it, you've got a keepsake forever. So I'm advising, I'm suggesting, I'm encouraging. I'm telling you, get the book.
Well, you know, and that's and when we looked at the back in the day, the magazines were coming out, and we read about. In fact, I just probably gave away 100 magazines to my kids because you know, people are not reading the magazines like they used to. They don't know about it. When my first day in the martial arts, you know, I went to a martial arts class. I'd never seen a martial arts magazine. I would go into a store. And there's a magazine with martial arts. It's like the red car, you know. You buy the red car, and everybody's driving the red car. And I started reading this magazine, and I saw a picture of Chuck Norris and a little old lady, him in his uniform, and he's standing with this huge trophy cup, you know, on his knee. I knew at that moment I wanted to be a karate champion. But we had magazines that told the story of what was going on in the on the western side of the country, what was going on the eastern side, the Midwest, you know, the down in Texas. We knew about all the stars. The ratings were there. You saw who the great fighters were, the great foreign, you know, people were. All that information was there. And over the years, you know, the magazines is going digital. You know, Black Belt and several other magazines are out there, but, you know, people are not picking them up. And we became smart. We knew about people. We were motivated. And, you know, before all the videos came out, you know, we'd get a magazine. We would study the technique that, you know, they used to have, I think it was in Karate Illustrator, either Kung Fu Magazine. Yeah, we would study that stuff and sit down and figure it out.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I didn't mention, and pardon me for cutting off because I'm excited about, you know, remembering, you know, Grandmaster Kareem Abdallah, who also was this man. We're talking Black History Month. So this man who created his own system and made it work through the champions of his students who became champions. But, you know, Al DeCasso was the other Kung Fu man who was performing and doing so well. But, you know, of course, you know, we already talked about, you know, Jeff Smith and Joe Corley, but also one of my, you know, Midwestern guys is Bill Wallace. So, you know, and of course, we have to honor and give thanks to, you know, Joe Lewis for his contribution as well to the arts. But, but when we look at our training, we look at our art and what we're doing, I always talk about that the martial arts isn't just about kicking and punching. And if you only get involved in that, if you have a teacher that is only interested in techniques, then you're losing out on the esoteric and the essence of the art, which is about the character, which is about honor and integrity and discipline and being that good person. And Professor Willie Bam Johnson makes sure he is disciplined in that. And the work that he does within his school and the community is absolutely fantastic. Professor Bam, talk about some of the stuff that you're doing with your students, please. Share it.
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to I got to give credit once again for being that kid that didn't listen. And I just, going through that darkness again, I realized that I didn't want kids to go down that same path that I went down. So, you know, my first step was to create a program called Stronger Than Drugs. And when I got that opportunity, I just made it a commitment to go back to the same country, the same city that I, you know, contributed to the destruction of. I had to rebuild, and that took a lot. But I was able to go back and work with some of them kids and some of the, you know, community centers in Baltimore. And still to this day, I think it's been like 30 years now almost that we've been going back. Our school been open like 25 years now. So every year we go back and we do toy drives, we do food drives, we do clothes drives, and we raise all these items through my school. And it's just wonderful. The same community, the same projects that I grew up in, I go right back to. In the community center, McKim's Community Center, where I trained at with Muggsy Bowes and all those great basketball players and wrestlers, I go back and we raise money to give back to that, you know, that community center too, because I believe those places were a safe haven for a lot of people like myself. And if we can, I have this big goal where I believe if we can create a professional, structured, wholesome, fun blueprint that we teach in commercial martial arts schools and take them back to these underprivileged communities, but they got to be instructors that are not part-time instructors. You got to live it. You got to breathe it. It can't be that you get off from work and you go in and you're taking out your frustration on these kids. You got to be going in to really help them see that you can make a career out of this. You can be all what you want to be. So the Stronger Than Drugs program allows us to be able to do that. And without my parents and my students at the school, I wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, it goes back again to say when I wasn't listening to OSA and them, when I came back, I had to make sure I passed that same message on. Sometimes I heard myself talking to my students, and I just like, man, they told me this. And I tell my students that, you know, I didn't listen. So don't think that I'm a magician here and I got the magic trick. It's just that I did what I do today is all the things I didn't do when they told me to do it back in the day. So, you know, and to look at that through our Stronger Than Drugs program, the one that I think we really are excited about is our Point MMA program. When most people hear that term, Point MMA, they might think, whoa, man, what is he doing, trying to, like, create his own MMA program? The trick behind the Point MMA program is that I come from a violent community. There is no way we should be teaching MMA to them kids back in that community, because that's no different than reinforcing the violence of guns and all that stuff. But if we can go back, and I can't speak, you know, that deep back into the history, but I can speak on my history. I know that in the dojos in the city, you had to have technique. I mean, you could be tough all you want, but you got beat up by the technician that had heart and spirit as well, those real warriors back in those urban communities. So I realized that even back in those days, I mean, we had good technique. Wasn't nobody trying to hurt each other. I mean, you got mad, but you couldn't break that match. So eventually through that match, at the end of it, we all know you had to respect that guy. And then y'all became best friends. Well, when we came up with Point MMA, I wanted to do the same thing. I didn't want to take something back that reinforced the negative violence. And the Point MMA has allowed us to be able to go back and teach that technique, build that adversity, because I believe that kids today, the problem that they make, the reason why they make a lot of bad decisions is because they don't understand their emotions. I mean, emotions make us just react and do so many things. That's what made me make some bad choices. So we can give them some wholesome pressure, you know, and build up those emotions and help them learn and understand those emotions and get to the other side of them. We can have much better young men and young ladies in being leaders for tomorrow. And I'm not putting down our industry, but I think a lot of schools, we sell out that heart and soul of that hardcore. Like OSA, they gave me tough love. Sometimes we want the contract and the dollar before we really want to build the person. And I can't allow that to happen when I'm in the presence of a kid, because I was that kid. If they wouldn't have did what they did for me, I would not be the person I am today. And when I look at, I mean, people say it don't work, but if you go to my school, I know that my students, I'm so hard on them, but they keep coming back, and they not inner city kids, they suburban kids. But the same formula work in the city as it would work in the suburbs. All kids want to know is that you truly care. And, I mean, would you agree, Osa?
I agree 100%, because, you know, that's what you have continued to do. The love and respect that exists within your school, it's a family affair all the time. But wait a minute. You were talking about the Point MMA. Now, I remember you introducing that. I believe it was at the U.S. Capitol Classics, if I'm correct. And remember, the U.S. Capitol Classic is the tournament that I co-founded with Grandmaster Dennis Brown back in the early 80s. But am I correct? Did you start it there? Is that the first introduction?
That was like the second introduction. The first one was at, and I think it was like 1992 at our event called All American. And then I think when we really took it to the world stage was when we did it at the Capitol Classics. Exactly. That's when it became Point MMA.
Now, what other tournament? Because something tells me that you've also done this MMA, which you designed and you organized and came up with. What other major tournaments or places have you also showcased it?
Oh, well, I mean, once again, you know, by the grace of God, I mean, miracles happen. I mean, we at the Battle Atlanta. We'll be at Don Rodriguez's Grand Rapid. I mean, what is it, Ocean State Grand Nationals. We'll be at the Grand Slams. What is it, Kumite Nationals. I mean, we at Alan Goldberg's event, we just combined the Point MMA Championships with a new creation called the Kids Action Martial Arts Choice Awards, which is to honor the youth that get lost sometimes in the dojo because we can't highlight them amongst the kids that they lead. And so, probably all of the major events that allows us to have a universal appeal in the sports karate industry, NBL, we was at the NBL Super Grands. So, I mean, and it probably would be more to come as we go forward. And then we host our own event, which is the All-American Games, which is the first ever Point MMA / fitness component because, you know, we in order to make it competitive, we know we got to also bring in that fitness element. But, yep, we had a lot of the major events. Larry Conahan gave it like a double A going for a triple A. So, yeah, it's good. I mean, and I think the event that you're talking about through Master Bowen, the new fitness event that y'all guys have coming up.
Right, Europa Games.
Yeah, we're supposed to be premiering at that. We would have been there at the event in North Carolina, but that's the same day that the Grand Slam, so we are on the schedule for some other events that they got coming up. Yep, but it's it's geared towards the kids. Everybody else want to do MMA for the adults. Our focus is the children. We are the little league of we're the little league of MMA. That's what we call it.
Well, this is absolutely what we're talking about is bringing the new concept in. And guys, I need to do a little commercial break here for one of our sponsors. So I'll be right back in just one moment.
Here's your chance to take your martial arts to the next level. Train with the Masters August 11th through 13th, 2017, in Dallas, Texas, held at the Sheraton Hotel Dallas. Hawaii has been the melting pot for different cultures of the Pacific Rim for many hundreds of years. Food, customs, family, language, and martial arts all have been mixed together and come out stronger and better. This year's theme is the Hawaiian influence on martial arts through custom martial culture, dress, and fashion. We will have special guest instructors that represent the Hawaiian influence, including Professor Alakola from Maui, who will be sharing the Apila style of Kempo from Brother Abe Kama Hoahoa of Hawaii, and also teaching Haka. Kuma Michelle Manu, who will be sharing the family style Lua from Grandmaster Solomon Kalyuma Kaliwalu, including both empty hand and weapons. She will be teaching her famous superhero experience. Self-defense classes where female participants dress up as superheroes. Women do not miss this. Grandmaster George Lim will be presenting the Hawaiian Kempo with his wife, Grandmaster Patricia Lim. Kilis Hula Halu will be demonstrating and teaching hula on several occasions. And world-famous tattoo artist Tricia Allen, Ph.D., will be teaching a class on Polynesian culture and doing 4 days of custom Polynesian tattooing. Shoot fighting seminar taught by Grandmaster Bart Vail. MMA fighter Chuck Liddell's coach, John Hackerman. He runs the Pit Gym and guided Chuck Liddell to UFC light heavyweight status and has coached many other MMA fighters. To top off the weekend event, we have the Kempo International Hall of Fame. This banquet dinner event includes awards for the newest inductee members of the IHOF Recognition Award for its existing members. Nominate someone for the Hall of Fame on the GOE website. We will then contact the nominees, and the verification process will continue, with inductions being held at the Gathering of Eagles and International Hall of Fame Banquet on August 12, 2017, in Dallas, Texas. This is the Kempo International Hall of Fame, begun by Grandmaster Al Tracy in 2007 in conjunction with the Gathering of Eagles. This Hall of Fame is a Kempo and Kempo-based system and is based on nominations from the governing board of the IHOF and also from the IHOF members themselves. This will be held in conjunction with the Gathering of Eagles in Dallas, Saturday, August 12, 2017. Held at the Sheraton Hotel Dallas, honoring the past and present brothers and sisters whose collective contributions are many and whose inspiration will continue on into the future to illuminate the path for those whom inspire to follow in their footsteps. GM Al Tracy, sponsors and vendors at the GOE KIHOF. This event is a perfect opportunity to get in front of hundreds of owners, instructors, and influencers from martial arts schools across the nation, Europe, and from around the world. There will be hours of networking opportunity throughout the three-day event in conjunction with special branding opportunities and IHOF media partners. For special media partners, contact Sabra Gerard at Sabra, and that's S-A-B-R-A at S-G. PR.com. For sales, contact Wes Davis at WesDavis65@gmail.com.
All right, we'd like to really thank our sponsors for the gathering in Texas, and we're looking forward to that event coming up. So, guys, as we sort of move towards the end of our program, let's sort of come up to today and you know, Bam, you just talk about a lot of things that you've got going on. But, you know, this is the thing that we do as martial artists. And, Tyree, I really would like to thank you, you know, because we actually met for the first time at the Battle of Atlanta. And, you know, we really didn't meet. We happened to be in the same room, you know, with the things that was going on with Grandmaster Jeff Smith and Joe Corley. We were in the room, and that was a spiritual event. I know at the banquet you said some things there that really made everyone's day. You know, my sister, she's a minister, and she took one look at you and says, you know, there's something totally different about that man. And I've watched you through all the events that we've been to together, and right now it's about four or five, I guess, we've actually you know been there together. But how that, you bring something very special, you know, as a martial artist, as a person that people love, they respect. You know, at the event you actually spoke, and right after you finished speaking to our audience there, my brain says he needs to be on our board of advisors. And I was an impulse thing that I said, I'd like for you to be on our board of advisors because, you know, you bring so much wisdom and so much knowledge, and so many people respect you for that, you know, that you bring. So I just wanted to, you know, take that moment to say, you know, thank you for, you know, for your support and for the insight. And you really have been doing a great job of helping us to, you know, take forth that word about the book and everything. But I just wanted to, you know, say that you have those, just like Bam is saying, that you've influenced his life. I know you that you've influenced the lives of, you know, hundreds and thousands of people, you know, through your teaching, you know, through your mentoring, and through the words that you speak. But I just want to take that moment to say thank you.
Bless you, sir. I really appreciate, I appreciate being in a space and a place where I can share the principles of not only the martial arts, but the principles of guidance and wisdom of life that have been shared with me and that I have been able to intuit as well. It is it is special to me when I am around people who, to the word, and feel the spirit. They understand that what I really mean is about the goodness for humanity. I'm an Aquarian, and Aquarius, that particular sign is about humanity. It is about people. As you may know, I just celebrated my birthday yesterday. And
oh, happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. But, you know, it is, thank you, but it's about making sure that we are better people. And I made a decision many years ago, about 40 years ago, I made a decision that I was only going to surround myself with the people that I love and respect and the people who love and respect me. And I have been blessed, so I do have a small circle. Over the years, that circle has grown much larger because I am finding so many like-minded people. And we just need to make sure we're together and we do the work. And it's always been said that whenever there is a gathering of at least two people, the Spirit of God will be present. And I want to make sure that that happens. I have right now, for the work that I'm doing, I've been blessed because of James Wilson, Don Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, and Cheryl Sanders, and Dr. Robert Goldman, to be involved with a couple of movies, and it's been special that has taken place. But who is the first black man, this African-American, it was the first one to be inducted into the Hong Kong Stuntman Association because of his work and all the movies that he had done in China. Demetrius Angelo, this young man who runs the Urban Action Showcase, he is bringing about this work of what we are doing, diversity in martial arts, diversity in the movie industry. I'm so proud of these men. And just like what Professor Bam is doing, I'm just making sure that I continue to spread the word, not just about the martial arts, the punching and kicking, but about that other part where we are supposed to be the people who defend. Martial arts are supposed to defend those who are weak. We're supposed to provide a direction. It isn't the kicking and punching. It is the education to be strong mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually. And your work, just the book that you are doing, you are getting a chance to share the history of the people who have made a difference. And that in and of itself, for what you have undertaken, because we know to put that book together, you must have been up maybe two or three nights without sleep.
Well, but I think I between all of us, it was.
Sir, I know. But that's how important it is. And you said we don't have as many martial arts magazines as we did before, sadly. You know, they have gone to the wayside. But what you have provided is something that is phenomenal. And, you know, just like when Ron Van Cleef did the book, The Black Heroes of the Martial Arts, you know, he's sharing the story of us who had been, you know, forgotten or brushed aside because they focused on other people. There are many of us who are working, who are doing everything. I'm working presently with Malenga Youssef Moore with a project right now that is that's an elite security solutions force. And we are doing some things that provide such help to different businesses, and I'm so proud of Malenga Youssef Moore so much. It's just amazing, this young man. But I guess the main thing is, as we're winding down, I know I just want to say thank you. I want to thank Professor Willie Bam Johnson for him becoming the kind of person that he always was going to be. He just needed that extra push. Even when I'm driving the car and he was trying to sleep on the... You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Professor Bam?
Yeah.
I only say that because I wanted to make him work. And go ahead, Bam. Tell him real quick. Tell him the short story.
No, well, when I first started competing on the national circuit after coming from China, they used to, Osa and Master Brown would take me out to these tournaments. So we were going to the Bluegrass Nationals. I still don't know where that Bluegrass is at, but we was going to the Bluegrass Nationals. And I couldn't drive at that time. And I do remember all the times y'all made me sleep on the floor, too. I didn't get a bed. I had to sleep on the floor. But that's okay. It made me who I am today. And we were driving late at night. So Master Brown was asleep, but also had to stay up. So I was in the front seat driving shotgun. All I wanted to do was sleep. And I couldn't drive. And he said, no, if I got to drive and stay up, you got to stay up. So he made me put my hand on the steering wheel and guide the car. I did not know what I was doing, going around all those sharp turns and whatever. You know, but once again, that's a little inside joke that we have. But those are the lessons that I think that are missing in the martial arts. You know, I add that my instructors would come to the inner city of to the Baltimore City projects and come through all that violence and all that craziness that was going on to come and just like rescue me or give me a kind word. And it's feeding that subliminal that I think is so important. Sometimes we give up on that. And it's still that little saying that Osa, he put in my head. And I remember when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And that's a spiritual teacher. And that teacher will come in the moment of darkness. And if you open for it, it will change your life like it has changed my life. So, you know, I thank him for the steering wheel. You know, I thank him for all those life lessons that, you know, even telling me to I need to look at my own resume. And I tell give those same lessons to my own kids today. So I thank him so much for all those lessons that he has given me. And also you, sir, for having me on this call.
Well, you're welcome, sir. You've actually written a book. I'm looking at it online. The Complete Martial Artist. Tell me, just take a moment. Tell us a little bit about that because I see it's on Amazon.
Yeah, that book, The People of Human Kinetics, the top, sports publishing company, they had came to me when I was still competing and told me they wanted to do a book on Kung Fu. But I didn't want to do a book on Kung Fu because that's what this call is about. It's not about the art. It's about the principles that you can teach people. So I didn't want to get boxed in the box about Kung Fu. So the book is really talking about what we're talking about, how to become a complete martial artist. You know, every aspect from self-defense to mental toughness to business to, you know, physical fitness to being a good parent to being a good leader. That's what makes you a complete martial artist. Fighting is just a small part of it. And that's what that book talked about. It's funny when I wrote that book, I gave bits and pieces of what I really went through, but I'm still saving it for my life story. But I got a lot of kids. I think the one that really stood out the most was having a kid call me from Minnesota and tell me that he was about ready to commit suicide. And after reading that book, he decided not to, you know, do it. And there's just so many stories go on and on, but and once again, I just did what my instructors did to me. And Osa talked about Master Ron Van Cleef. Master Ron Van Cleef said that Peter Urban said, if you got something to say, you need to put it in writing.
That's right. Well, guys, I really do would like to thank you for being on our call tonight. This is really good. This is going to be replaying on several in our new radio shows. We have a radio show that's coming up, launching next week, and we're really excited about it because it's a 24-hour-a-day radio show. And the web link to that is the-AMAA-martialartsmasters show. And so I'm going to have a new URL coming out next week, but it plays mute. It's got 24 hours a day. Something is going on. And it's martial arts based. In the mornings we start off, we're talking about leading off with meditation in the morning. Then we go into business. We have a business coach on. We're going to talk about how to help you grow your martial arts school and be successful. We have time management people coming on. We're talking with Jack Canfield, who's one of my favorite motivational speakers, about Ashley having his podcast be on our show. Then we got music. Actually, Lionel Richie and Diana Ross is playing right now on our radio shows. I'm looking at the page. So, you know, we're really moving the wheel in the martial arts and finding tools for everyone, for the education, for the martial artist, the business owner, information for parents. Shows like this, the history, we're trying to, you know, really say that martial artists that thought their time was over and it was done with, we're digging them back up, asking them to share their story, regenerating life to them that they can now get back and feel good about themselves as a martial artist. We're putting in, you know, divisions in, you know, that are 65 and above for competitive divisions, for forms, and for fighting. That, you know, okay, the martial arts, it's not over. It's not over yet. And then we have the great opportunity of the Europa Games, which is going to be going on in Charlotte. We're really excited about that, to have a platform to share with other events. And, you know, we just got so many amazing things that that's going to be going on. So remember, if you want to know more about the Europa Games, go to www.amaa-europagames.com. Check out the website, see what we're doing. You know, so guys, listen again, you know, really thank you. Any last words? And plus, you know, I guess, Bam, how can people get up with you if they want to study martial arts, you know, or ask questions? And Tyree, how can they get up? How can people get up with you guys?
Well, they can find out more about me if they go to pointmma.com. Or, you know, anybody that listens to the call, if they would like to get some free online training in the Point MMA, they can go to Point MMA University, because we have an online training course for the sport. So, yeah, and I'll get right back to them.
Well, one of the things that they can do, anyone who's interested, one of the best social medias that's out right now, and so that's just simply also Tyree Cassell, and hit me up on that end. What I would also like for people to do, April 28th, I'm going to be in Florida at Cecil Kevin Berkowitz's school, and also on April 29th, I'll be in Florida at my brother Soki Littlejohn for his tournament that he's having down there. But always contact me. You know, Facebook is the best way. But here's something else I want to mention real quickly. In August, I'm hoping Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, you will be able to come. I'm inviting as many people as possible. I'm going to have a dinner. Well, it's going to be a fun seminar, and it's going to be a roast where I'm inviting everybody who knows me to come and tell stories about me, true or not, and then everybody else can figure out what is what, so that we can have laughs and have a good time. That's going to be in August, and I'll get more information about it.
Yeah, well, you know, I almost forgot about August. Yeah, you know, in August, you know, I will be in that area because we have the next book, the 2017 Who's Who in the Martial Arts. We'll be out. We'll be with Grandmaster Dennis Brown at his event, the U.S. Capitol Classic. And on Friday, we have the awards banquet. The Legends Banquet is going to be on Friday. The book signing, the first book, is going to be coming out. So, you know, this is going to be a great year. So many things that's going on, and this is good. And remember that,
life is bad when you think it's bad. Give up bad, think about good, and goodness will now come to you.
And we give thanks for our family, for our friends, for the Creator's blessings to make sure that we can move to the next level with harmony, with peace, but definitely with prosperity and joy in our hearts, because the moment that we do, then, as you just said, goodness comes about. Well, thank you once again, sir. Thank you, Professor Graham. I truly appreciate this opportunity to share our story and to laugh and joke and have some fun. So thank you, Grandmaster Jesse Bowen. Thank you, sir.
Well, guys,
thank
again,
you, sir.
I appreciate you guys. You guys are welcome, guys. And if you ever need me, just pick up the telephone and give us a call. Everyone, this is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen. So thank you for listening to our radio show. And remember, nominate someone for the Who's Who Legends book. You can go to www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com. And also, to get a copy of the book, you can go to Century Martial Arts. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There's so many different outlets to get your copy of this, of the history book. And again, I don't really promote the book. I think that we have so many great people. You don't have to believe me. They're talking about the book, and it is amazing. The book is really about something else, and we're glad to know that it's creating something positive. So everyone have a blessed week. Again, this is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen saying, being blessed.
Thank you, sir.